You are now listening to Running the Race, the official podcast of St. Paul Street Evangelization, where we engage in thoughtful conversations about ways to evangelize the contemporary culture. I'm your host, Adam Janke, and thank you for joining us. Today, we're going to talk to a good friend of mine and of St. Paul Street Evangelization, the founder of the Bible Christian Society, John Martinoni, about Christmas apologetics. It is that time of the year. You know, it's interesting to see how the Christian Bible Society got its start back in 1996 with the goal of working towards the conversion of the greater Birmingham area to Catholicism, but it's, you know, actually spread so much beyond that at this point too, which we'll talk about in just a moment. We'll also hear from one of our most active team leaders, David Bordwine. So it's interesting. I've been with St. Paul Street Evangelization for 10 years this month, and honestly, I can't think of anything I'd rather be doing. You know, so much of church work is just administering programs. And, you know, before I started with St. Paul Street Evangelization, I was a director of religious education and, you know, running CCD and sacramental prep and adult formation and all that's wonderful. There's nothing wrong with it. But I realized my heart was just to minister to people, not so much to administrate programs. And so being part of St. Paul Street Evangelization and going around working with our teams, evangelizing with you guys out on the street, I got to tell you, it just brings me life, and it just brings me joy. And so it's good to be with all of you today as we dive into our next podcast here. It's amazing to see the work of St. Paul Street Evangelization, everything that's happening around the country as you open up the door to Jesus, to faith, to forgiveness, to healing, to so many people in such a powerful way. You know, I just can't see myself anywhere else until I retire or drop dead. We'll see what happens first. But, you know, this past week I spent with a great group of Catholic young adults in Orange County, California. They have a large charismatic Catholic ministry there, and I was at their monthly meeting, and we were able to offer two specialized ministry trainings on top of that for the diocese. And so meeting with those young adults, meeting with all that great group of Catholic charismatics, meeting with our street teams, training more people in the diocese. We've now trained over 600 evangelists to go out and do ministry in Orange County, California. And the fruits that we're seeing in the Diocese of Orange are just remarkable. The number of people turning to Jesus, the number of people receiving healing, going back to confession, receiving the sacraments, joining RCIA. It's so good to see the number of seeds that we're planting just by going out and being present on the streets of Anaheim and around Orange County is really beautiful. And so if you're out there in Orange County and you're thinking, man, I want to connect with more teams, make sure you go to our website. Connect with the other team leaders. Get yourself on all those different email lists for all the local teams, or even just contact the diocese, the Office of Evangelization, and they'll help get you connected too. They'll help get you on all the different email lists so that you can go out and evangelize with them. And if you're not in Orange County, do the same thing and get connected to our local teams. If you don't have a team near you, contact us and we'll help you get one started too. So thank you for your prayers, for your support, for joining us out on the streets, helping us lead people to Jesus and his church. As an organization of Catholic evangelists, you literally are, as I said last time, St. Paul Street Evangelization. So today, we want to provide a platform for you, knowing that we're coming up on the holidays here, knowing that Christmas is just around the corner. You're going to have family together. You're going to have friends together, maybe coworkers for Christmas, celebrations in the workplace. And as a Catholic, you know, you're wearing your miraculous medal, you're wearing your crucifix, you know, you're evangelizing, you're sharing your faith. Might be some hostility that pops up, or might be some questions that pop up. And so today, we wanted to talk a little bit more about that. And I've invited a good friend of mine, good friend of our apostolate here at St. Paul Street Evangelization, to come on the show. And he is a founder of the Bible Christian Society. His name is John Martinoni. And he's going to talk with us about Christmas apologetics. So that's what our show is about today. So it's interesting that the Bible Christian Society got its start in 1996 with the goal of working towards the conversion of the greater Birmingham area to Catholicism. But its reach has spread so much beyond that, as we'll talk about in just a moment. Bob Wilson, our director of St. Paul Street Evangelization, will help us wrap up the show today, talking about just everything that's happening around the country, all the new stuff that we've been up to here at the Apostolate. So let's go ahead and open up in prayer together, and then we'll go ahead and bring John onto the show here. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Set our hearts on fire with zeal for the gospel, love for all people, and a desire for their salvation, O Lord. Inspire us that we might proclaim the gospel persuasively and with charity, giving witness with our words and our lives. Give us courage in proclaiming the Lordship of Jesus Christ and the truth, beauty, and goodness of our Catholic faith. We beg you also to open up the hearts of all people, helping them to know your love and your call to the fullness of life in your church. Through our holy patrons, Our Lady of Guadalupe and St. Paul, we ask these graces for all Catholic evangelists, and we make this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, so like I said, today we have John Martinoni, a good friend of St. Paul Street Evangelization, with us. And, you know, as I go around the country and I offer these talks on evangelization, people often ask me, hey, Adam, what book should I buy on apologetics? You know, I feel a little rusty and like I don't know enough about the Bible. And I always get my whiteboard marker out and I said, all right, this is what you want. You want to go look up on Amazon, Blue Collar Apologetics. It's by this great, great guy, John Martinoni. And they're always like, how do you spell that? So I'm like, all right, here you go. John, welcome to the show. So what's happening there in Birmingham?
Just things are kind of slowing down for the Christmas season and, you know, Thanksgiving. And I'm getting ready to, I'm trying to fast for the next couple days, so that, you know, lose a few pounds so that I can gain them all back on Thursday and Friday.
That's right. When do the Christmas decorations go up down there? You put them up day after Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas Eve.
There's some people in my neighborhood that already have them up. We'll probably put them up maybe a week before Christmas or so at our house. Since the kids are older, my youngest is now a freshman in college, and they're not all that big into the presents and in the Christmas tree and hanging ornaments and all. They're all doing their own things every which way. So we kind of just take our time about getting the tree up in our house, my wife and I, but probably about a week or so before Christmas.
Yeah, there you go. I just came back not too long ago from California and just had a horrible stomach bug, and I had the cold at the same time. And I love Christmas and everything about Christmas. And so I put the movie Elf on, and my kids kind of gave me a side eye, and they're like, Dad, you can't watch that. It's way too early. And I said, you know what? If we can meditate on the nativity and the rosary, if we can have, you know, a nativity scene to crash up all year long, I can watch Elf.
That's it. It's Christmas all year long, Adam.
Exactly. You're with me, John. I love it. So, you know, we've got all these Catholic evangelists out there, and, you know, it's like we've got these holiday parties coming up. You know, you have family over for Thanksgiving and Christmas, and, you know, oftentimes we're the target of different questions on the Catholic faith. And some of them, you know, are meant in goodwill and they're honest questions, and some of them, you know, we get questions thrown at us that are a little bit, I don't know, what do you say, not quite as in goodwill, right? A little bit hostile. So,
right.
Yeah, I thought today we'd talk about a few of those and see what you think, you know, how we can best evangelize our family, friends, and coworkers.
Well, what I always tell people, you know, because over the years with the newsletter I've got, I've got all, you know, thousands of subscribers, and every year I'll get people emailing me and say, hey, my sister married this Baptist guy, and every year at Thanksgiving or Christmas, we'll have dinner and the family be together, and he'll ask, well, you know, why do you Catholics worship Mary? Or, you know, all Catholics are going to hell, or, you know, all this kind of stuff. You believe in a works salvation. So the first thing I tell people, I said, look, if you can learn how to ask them questions, you know, one of the strategies I teach in those blue-collar apologetics books you mentioned is how to be offensive without being offensive. And you do that by learning how to ask questions. So somebody says, well, why do you Catholics worship Mary? You can say, well, where did you get that from? Where in the Catechism of the Catholic Church does it say we're supposed to worship Mary? The Catechism being the official teaching of the Catholic Church. So just turn it around on them. Well, you pray to Mary. Well, no, actually, if you understood what we believe and why we believe it and what we do and why we do it, you would understand that we're actually asking Mary to join her prayers to ours and present them before the throne of God the Father and Jesus Christ. So the first thing to do, though, is learn how to respond to questions with questions, just like Jesus did in the Gospels. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? What did Jesus say? Well, oh, you got me there, God. No, he said, well, whose head is on the coin? Just turn it right around on him. If now, and let's say, this has been going on for years and you've never really had a good response, but this Thanksgiving, they don't ask the questions, or this Christmas at dinner, they don't ask the questions. Then you're like, well, I'm all ready to evangelize now. I wasn't last year, but I am this year. So should I ask a question? Should I start? I always tell people, I say, look, first thing we pray for is for God to present an opportunity to us. And if it might be that, well, last year your fundamentalist brother-in-law asked you some question, you couldn't answer it, or got everybody into a huff. And this year, if you want to stay quiet, stay quiet. And then if you're ready to evangelize, you can always send your brother-in-law something via email, or mail him a book in the mail and say, hey, here's this blue-collar book, and the subtitle is Questions Protestants Can't Answer. And I'm just curious, can you answer these questions? And send them the book. So you don't have to start something if the other person doesn't. But if you do want to start something, it's very easy to do. Again, you just ask a question. Say, hey, brother-in-law Bob, doesn't your church teach this thing, salvation by faith alone? Is that what it's called, sola fide? Yes, we do. Where is that in the Bible? And he'll give you some verse or something, a couple, three verses maybe, but you can say, well, it doesn't say faith alone. It says we're saved by faith. Catholics agree with that, but it doesn't say faith alone. So where is the phrase faith alone in Scripture? And you're not going to tell them that there's only one place in Scripture where the phrase faith alone appears, and that's in James 2:22-24, where it says, not by faith alone are we justified. So again, the whole thing to me, though, is asking questions. Learn how to ask questions. Answer questions with questions. If you want to start the conversation, ask a question and go from there and see what happens.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And I was just in Battle Creek, Michigan. We actually had a Baptist come to one of our workshops on how to evangelize, and I found out that he's been going to Mass for quite a while. But he came up to me during one of the breaks, and he says, "I've been going to Mass every Sunday. I'm coming to some of this different Catholic stuff. I feel a real pull on my heart, but I just intellectually can't get over some of these things, Adam." And I said, "All right, well, what can't you get over?" And he mentioned purgatory is one of those things that he couldn't get over. And I loved, just the question route. I said, "Okay." I said, "His name's Greg." I said, "Greg, you believe in Jesus, right, brother?" He's like, "Absolutely." And I'm like, "Well, since you had faith in Jesus, have you ever sinned before?" Since then. He said, "Well, yeah, sure I have. I'm a sinner." I'm like, "Okay. Is there any sin in heaven?" He said, "No, there's no sin in heaven. So when you're in heaven, you're not gonna sin." He's like, "Yeah, that's right." I'm like, "Well, what changes? Because you're going to be Greg in heaven. You're Greg right now. And if you're sinning now and you have faith in Jesus and you don't sin in heaven, something's got to change." And so using kind of that question method of just kind of, asking Socratically, helping him think through it, by the end of it, he's like, "Oh man, I love the doctrine of purgatory now. It makes sense to me." Well, you just gotta let people think it through on their own. So speaking of, asking questions and, as they come, these different things come up with Catholic doctrine, let's take a look at a couple of them having to do with Christmas. So if we're going to, like you said, if we're, we're getting questions thrown at us, or we are going to evangelize, some of the common ones that come up, and I've even heard this myself, why did Christians take over pagan holidays and then make them quote unquote Christian? I mean, when we celebrate Easter, aren't we really celebrating a pagan holiday? When we celebrate Christmas, aren't we really celebrating a pagan holiday? It's like, Christians, they can't be original with anything. How do you respond to something like that?
Well, in a couple ways. Number one, I have never seen a definitive history that says, yes, Christmas was overlaid on a pagan holiday, or Easter was overlaid on a pagan holiday. Now, there's suggestions of it. There's people who've written histories that say, well, it seems like this is what's going on. But I've never seen anything that definitively says, on February 17th, 507, the Pope declared that this is no longer a pagan holiday, it's now a Christian holiday. Nothing like that. So, but is it impossible that it happened or improbable? No, actually, it's not, because just because something is pagan doesn't mean that there is not at least some element of truth in, if you're a pagan, you're worshiping a false god. Well, there's a truth there that there is a god. It's just you're worshiping the false one, not the real one. So what Christians have often done is taken the pagan holiday, which, okay, the pagans are used to gathering on this day for a feast or something, and transforming it. The way Jesus transformed our human nature with his death and resurrection, he has made all things new. It didn't, and the Jewish holidays and the old law, Jesus didn't abolish them. He fulfilled them. He transformed them. He took them to a different level. And that's what Christians do when we take something pagan and turn it into something Christian. We don't keep the pagan roots of it. We don't keep the bad parts of it. We take whatever might be good in there and we turn it and add in Jesus Christ. And one easy example I always tell people, I say, I look at somebody's hand when they ask me about, well, Easter's just a pagan holiday, Christian's just a pagan holiday. I look at their hand. And if they're wearing a red wedding ring, I'll say, wait a minute, what's that on your hand? Well, that's my wedding ring. You know that's pagan, right? I mean, wedding rings came from paganism. It was pagans that started the tradition of wedding rings, not Christians. So exchanging rings to show your fidelity, to show your love, to show your commitment, that's from paganism. We took it and we Christianized it. We turned marriage, which is something natural, into something that has a supernatural bent to it. We elevated it and we made it Christian. So if they're wearing a wedding ring, then they have no place to talk about, Christmas being a pagan holiday or Easter being a pagan holiday. No. If that's what happened, if we overlaid our holidays on pagan holidays, what we did was take something that was there, took whatever was good in it, if there was anything good in it, and we made it Christian. We elevated it. We added a supernatural element to it, and to point people to Jesus Christ.
Amen, which is exactly what we want to see. And as you were speaking, it reminded me too, not in the same equivalence, but you go to the Holy Mass, you go to the Eucharist, and you take a look at that, and it's like, huh, this looks suspiciously like the Passover, right? Took something from the Old Testament there, and Jesus elevated it. into something even greater.
Well, and the same with like baptism. Baptism is the New Testament equivalent of circumcision. Jesus says, Paul says, we don't have to be circumcised anymore to come into covenant with God. We are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, the circumcision of the heart, through baptism. So yes, we take something that's there, and we elevate it. We add the supernatural. We add Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to it to point people in the direction of the Godhead.
That's right. Men everywhere say, thank you, Jesus, for that one. So,
yes.
All right. Exactly. Another question. When did it become politically incorrect to, or even prohibited in some places to say Merry Christmas in public? And how should Christians respond to that? If we're like, don't say Merry Christmas, say Happy Holidays or Season's Greetings or something like that.
You know, that's really just in the last, 15 years or so that's really come to the fore, that people get offended by Merry Christmas. You know, I mean, if someone who's Jewish came up to me and said Happy Hanukkah, I'm not going to be offended. I mean, I'm not Jewish. I don't celebrate Hanukkah, but they're wishing me good. They're sending me goodwill, basically, by wishing me Happy Hanukkah. So Christians should respond by continuing to say Merry Christmas.
Yeah. So just to continue to share our faith and not be ashamed of the gospel, not being ashamed of who we are, just like we wouldn't try to, shame somebody that says Happy Hanukkah and say, well, how dare you say that to me? I'm a Christian, right?
Right.
Being people of goodwill. All right. So last question then, favorite Christmas movie?
My favorite Christmas movie is easy. It's Jimmy Stewart. It's A Wonderful Life. I started watching it when I was in high school during the holidays. I'd stay up. TV would go off the air at midnight. Well, I'd stay up till midnight watching TV. And I think it was when I was a sophomore in high school, maybe a junior, this movie played. I had never heard of It's a Wonderful Life, never seen it. And I start watching it and just fell in love with it. And so I started telling everybody the next year, you got to watch It's a Wonderful Life. Got to watch It's a Wonderful Life. So it's by far, in a way, my favorite Christmas movie.
There you go. It's a Wonderful Life. Yeah, it's a great movie, but maybe it just shows my immaturity that I love Elf. But
I love Elf too, and so do my kids. But
the favorite, right? Yep.
Right.
Yeah. There you go. I love that our own hometown movie theater. They have these $5 movie nights, and this week they're doing Elf, then the Polar Express, then White Christmas, and It's a Wonderful Life. Leading right up to Christmas too. So. All right. Well, with that, John, tell us a little bit more about your ministry, your website, your new book that's out, and where folks can learn more.
Well, the website is BibleChristianSociety.com, BibleChristianSociety.com. I've got 28, 29 different talks there, audio. You can download them for free. You can listen to them right on the website for free. If you still have a CD player, you can order the free CDs of the talks. I've got a newsletter, e-newsletter called Apologetics for the Masses. It goes out on average once every other week, where I it's my dialogue with Baptist ministers, evangelicals, with Protestant apologists. And it gives what they say, what I say, but then I put in, well, why did I say that? I put in a little strategy section. Why did I ask these questions? Why did I respond this way? So that people who are reading the newsletter can take what I'm doing and use those same strategies, but apply them in their lives, in their conversations. And everything I do, it's blue collar. My first book was Blue Collar Apologetics, How to Explain and Defend Catholic Teaching Using Common Sense, Simple Logic, and the Bible. This newest book, which you can get at EWTNRC.com or SophiaInstitute.com and just type in blue collar, is a blue-collar answer to Protestantism. And the subtitle is Catholic Questions Protestants Can't Answer. And the blue collar part of it is common sense. I think when I think blue collar, I think of people with common sense. And this is not deep theology. It's not deep philosophy. It's stuff that would be perfect for use, like you said, on St. Paul's Street Evangelization, you know, when you're out there on the street corners with your tables and everything. But I teach strategies. I teach people in this current book, the first half is called Problems with Protestantism. And it looks at Protestantism from a macro point of view, looking at the forest instead of the trees, as it were. The second half, I've got 30 questions Protestants can't answer. And it's looking at individual doctrines and dogmas, sola fide, sola scriptura, and just asking simple, common sense, usually Bible-based, but not always, questions about Protestantism. For example, one real quick one, sola fide, saved by faith alone. So one of the questions in the book that Protestants can't answer is, do you have to love God in order to be saved? Well, you know, the average Catholic, average Christian would think, well, yeah, of course you have to love God. Well, but wait a minute. If you're saved by faith alone, you don't have to love God in order to be saved. So if they say, yes, you have to love God in order to be saved, sola fide isn't true. It's salvation by faith and love. If they say, no, you don't have to love God in order to be saved, that means you can break the two great commandments, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. You don't have to do those things, and you can be saved, which when you read the New Testament, that's a ridiculous position to take. So these are questions Protestants can't answer, because when they try to answer them, they will either contradict the Bible or they will contradict their own theology. And so it's not gotcha questions. It's questions to make people sit down and think, why do I believe what I believe? And is it rational, commonsensical, and scriptural to believe what I believe?
There you go. So I've got the book right in front of me, Blue Collar Apologetics. And for us as street evangelists, I love this book. Before, John, you published the book, I would often recommend Beginning Apologetics, that series. I still think it's a great series. It's fantastic. But I love that series, and I love these two new books because of their practical application. Sometimes apologetic books, they can get a little heavy and a little intellectually heady. And so while they're good for us to read and we enjoy them, we're thinking, how on earth do I translate this into a conversation I'm having with somebody on the street? It's like, I just don't know where I would go. And so, you know, a book like Blue Collar Apologetics, you've got the narrative in there. You've got, this is how I approach it. This is what I say. It's perfect for street evangelists. So
well, that I tell people in both the books, in the introduction, I say, if you want deep theology, and if you want deep philosophy, put this book down now. You won't get it from this book.
All right. Thank you so much, John, for being on our podcast today. Folks, take a look at Blue Collar Apologetics. A Blue Collar Answer to Protestantism is the newest one out, published by EWTN and Sophia. So you can get those. And then, John, one more time, what's that website they can go to?
You can go to EWTNRC for Religious Catalog, EWTNRC.com. Or SophiaInstitute.com.
Great. All right. So check those books out. Check out John Martinoni's ministry, Bible Christian Society. If you're out there, evangelizing people and questions pop up about the Bible or doctrine or apologetics, and you're not sure how to answer it, John is a great resource. He's got online resources. You can contact him. You can contact us, and we'll help you through it as well. So, John, thanks again for being on today.
My pleasure, Adam. I appreciate the invite, and I'm honored to be number two. And you guys have a happy Thanksgiving and a great Christmas, too. God bless.
All right. Next up on the podcast today, we always like to bring one of our team leaders on. And the reason that we like to do that is so that all of you, because you're spread all over the country, all over the world, have a chance not just to get to know us here at the national office as staff, but you get to know one another as well. So if you're not able to join us for immersion or our other workshops and events that we have, periodically throughout the year, this podcast serves as a great way for us to bring on team leaders and evangelists, talk about the great work you guys are doing. And so, David, it's great to have you on the podcast today. How's everything going?
It's great to be here, and watching God move is exciting.
That's great. So for all of those team leaders out there listening, all of our supporters, all of our evangelists, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I live in Vermilion, Ohio, and I began as a team leader in July of 2016. And we have like about 40 members that have come in through our team to be evangelists. And we've got three or four venues going on right now, and we're excited.
That's great. So what prompted you initially to want to get involved in something like St. Paul Street Evangelization?
I was a convert in 2010, and of course I was excited about finding the truth, and I was in my early 50s, and I didn't know how to share the faith. I was excited and talking to people and just pushed. They were kind of getting pushed away because of, I didn't know how to present it. So I saw St. Paul Street Evangelization at Toledo, Ohio, when they brought the apostolate in to do training. And I was there with 132 people and got the basic training. And at that, then I went home and registered to be the team leader in Vermilion. And I didn't know a lot, enough right then, but you learn step by step and little by little. I worked with Dino Pincinelli one time in Toledo, June 3rd of 16. He was at a festival up there called the West End Festival. And the three of our team, we went up and we saw God move powerfully there. And we were really excited. And our first time out in Vermilion was July 2nd. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. How often are you guys going out and evangelizing?
We're very active. We go out about 30 times a year, but now that's going to increase because we're on two college campuses now.
Mm, wow, that's amazing. That is super active. So, and what kind of fruits are you seeing as you're evangelizing?
This year we had 93 people. This is through the through October 23rd. We had 93 people that wanted to go through OCIA, the RCIA program. Right now there's five from the ministry at my parish that are in OCIA. Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. So when they want to go through OCIA, I know for those of you wondering, they often, people understand it as RCIA, right? That was the old terminology, or Rite of Christian Initiation for adults. Terminology has been updated a little bit. Now we call it OCIA, or Order of Christian Initiation for Adults. So if somebody wants to be baptized, receive the sacraments, come into the fullness of the faith of the Catholic Church, they go through that process. That's amazing. So you've got five at your parish, I imagine. Others, they want to go through that process or
we talk to people from all over. So a lot of them seem to be near a city here called Elyria, Ohio. And so we send them to parishes there. And I don't know how many went, or how many are in. I know there's some, sometimes people, it takes them a little while to get themselves where they can go. I have five more people right now that want to take OCIA, but they for whatever reason they can't go right now. Last year we had a family come in at our parish from the street, but I met them in 2019. But they just made it into the church this last Easter vigil. So the Holy Spirit's working on them, and you gotta takes his time, because he's every person's different.
Right every person's different. You're out there planting seeds. People come in. God works his grace on people over time. And, people got to think about it. They got to pray about it. They got to get over maybe some of those intellectual and spiritual hurdles. But what incredible fruit you guys are seeing. I know our evangelists out there are going to be encouraged by hearing that. Is there any favorite story that you have from the past year?
Well, of course, the most exciting thing as a team leader for me is to see a transformation in front of your eyes when someone is truly receives repentance and conversion and receive the love of God into their heart. And then a lot of times when they have that experience and they feel the love from us. Mm-hmm. And if you can love people, you know, you love God and you love others, and they sense that, and the people that do, some of them cry, some of them hug us, you know, that's a tremendous experience. You know, you get more out than you give. And that's, it's a blessing to be able to be part of it, you know, and help people. You know, the battle is for souls. And that's, and that's what we're doing. We're fighting for souls.
That's right. And speaking of fighting for souls and the work that we're doing, of course, we put a spiritual target on our back. So we always have to be very vigilant. We always have to be in prayer and sacrament as evangelists and be aware that the enemy is on the prowl. And so with that, how can we pray for you, David? How can we pray for your team in the coming months?
Well, one thing that I would like to let everyone know is what we do to protect us from evil when we're evangelizing. We all have Blessed Benedict medals on, mm-hmm. but we were inspired to hang a Blessed Saint Benedict medal on each corner of our tent mm-hmm. while we're evangelizing. No evil can come into the tent. Mm-hmm. So, and that seems to have helped because we run into a few people once in a while, not very many, but they need to go somewhere and they do. We had one that he started saying stuff that was very ungodly. And so we started quoting scriptures to him on the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And as we did that, the third scripture, he bent over like he was in pain. By the fifth one, he was on his knees on the ground. Mm-hmm. It had to bow at the name of Jesus, that whatever was controlling him. And I ended up helping him get up with a friend of his and walk him away to, you know, to go to his car. But as soon as he got about 20 steps from our tent, he was fine. Mm. He had to get away from us. Yeah. You know, that spirit didn't want to hear it, you know? Yeah. So, but that's rare. That was only one time in 8 years that happened. Sure. But pray for us because right now we've been expanding for 8 years and there's 5 teams that have come off of our team and mm-hmm. There's more in the works. But we're doing a class next April in the Cleveland Diocese. We're already going west. Now we're going more east. And we have a class of about 40 people that are going to go through the training with us. And we're excited about that because I think the bishop is on board in Cleveland now. He came to our table and I've never had a bishop come to my table before, but he came to our table and he watched us for a little bit. And then when I got done with the people I was with, I walked over and I told him the things that God was doing. And I gave him the gospel cards and I went through it with him to show him how he presented the gospel. He followed along. He put them in his pocket when he was done. And then we asked him to give us his blessing, which he did. And we asked him what he wanted us to pray for. And he had us pray for all of his priests. So that was a tremendous encounter. But what God wants is what we want. And that's the way we want it. Pray for us to do what he wants. And whatever he tells us to do, that we'll be like Mary and say yes. My contact information is you can text me at 440-320-2053. Or you can email me at davebordwine@gmail.com.
All right. Perfect. Well, thank you, David.
Thank you.
Have a great Thanksgiving.
You too.
Amen. We certainly will. Thank you so much for joining us, David. And keep up the great work out there. God bless you guys. It's such an inspiration. And hopefully that'll just inspire our team leaders who might be, you know, feeling a little bit discouraged right now or haven't gone out as much or just need a little kick in the pants to like, all right, I got to get back out there. I got to keep evangelizing. To do so. So we've been joined this morning by David Bordwine. Thank you so much from our Vermilion, Ohio team.
Next up, we have Bob Wilson, Director of St. Paul Street Evangelization, with us. Just like last time, we had Mark Hornbacher to tell us more about the school. Bob is here to tell us a little bit more about the things happening with the street ministry side of the apostolate as well. Welcome, Bob.
Hey, Adam. Thanks for having me.
So since this is your first time on the podcast, I know most of our team leaders will have spoken to you before, but not necessarily all of our supporters. Could you tell us just a little bit more about yourself?
Sure. I'm a cradle Catholic who didn't really embrace my faith, let's say, as a kid. And it wasn't until middle age where I had a panic attack and anxiety issues and where I decided to come back to the Lord to so he could save me, essentially. That's why I'm back as a Catholic.
That's great. And so how long have you been with St. Paul Street Evangelization now? It's been a few years, hasn't it?
Yeah, I started evangelizing as a team leader in around 2013. And I came on staff in 2019 as the director.
That's right. So we always love to throw in a fun question as well. Favorite sports team, and why is it the Lions?
It's not the Lions.
Unbelievable.
I'm a Detroiter, so you know we have the Tigers, Red Wings, Pistons, Lions. Lions never won anything in my whole life, so I've kind of given up on them. But the good news is they're good this year, so who knows? Maybe this is their year.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so if it's not the Lions, then who is it?
I'm going to have to say the Tigers, even though they're not very good now either, but they have won a championship in 1984, which I'm holding on to right now.
All right. Well, Lions and Tigers and Bears, I guess. Oh, my, right. Yeah. So what's happening around the country with St. Paul Street Evangelization?
Well, it's an exciting time. My job and Brian Lee's job, we work with people who contact us, who've heard about us, and they want to get involved. And so it's very exciting to hear from people all over the country and beyond about how the Lord's calling them to get in the game of evangelization. And so I love to hear their stories, how God's working in their lives. And I just want to work with them and equip them to get there out there on the streets as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, you do hear from our team leaders a lot. You see a lot of these stories as they come in. I know right now it's just a hard time in the world and there's a lot of bad things going on. Everyone's kind of worried about World War III and things like that. And well, we're coming up on the holidays. You know, it's definitely a time where as Christians we put our hope in, and you know, the coming of the Lord Jesus and the nativity. So as you hear from our team leaders, as they go out and they evangelize and everything, what's bringing you hope right now from the experience of all of our teams out there? What are they seeing? What are they hearing? All over the country, all over the world.
Yeah, it's just that their stories are so similar. It's like they see what's going on in the world and they know that they've got to get out there and do something, which was my experience as well. And so just that camaraderie to have with all these different Catholics, they recognize what's going on. They recognize that Jesus is the answer and therefore making him known is the answer. So just working with them, hearing their stories has given me lots of hope.
That's good. And so we just had David Broadwine, of course, on in Ohio and all the incredible things that they're doing out there. What are some other kind of hot spots around the country for our teams? What other areas have been active?
Yeah, David in Ohio with Marcus, and then in Texas is on fire. California's on fire. As you know, you're out there, seems like every other weekend training with those guys. And so, yeah, I would say Texas, California, Ohio. Are the hot spots
right now. Any favorite evangelization stories from our teams?
I just I'm edified by every time I hear people who approach our table. Sometimes they're hostile, and then we just calmly and coolly befriend them and just explain our faith in a way that's easily graspable, and people walk away thinking, huh, those guys were pretty nice, and what they had to say seems to be true in a lot of times. So yeah, just, I can't point to one story, but I hear that over and over again, how our team leaders with their listen and befriending, proclaiming and inviting method, non-confrontational with the miraculous medals and the gifts we give, it's just making a difference, I think.
Okay, all right, cool. And what's coming down the pipeline with St. Paul Street Evangelization? Anything we're excited about?
Well, we get together every few months with our team leaders and anyone on their team to train. We're having more salvation-centered kind of topics and teachings, and we're working on it. We're practicing sharing the gospel message, which is the most important thing for an evangelist, talking about how we're saved, the beauty of the Catholic gospel as opposed to these other ones where it's like, you know, they just believe they're saved from hell, essentially. And it's not like mm-hmm. the beauty of the Catholic faith, where we're infused with God's grace. We become his children. We go out there and we act like it and bring people to the Lord and just love them, hopefully into the kingdom of heaven.
Amen. All right. Well, thank you for being with us today, Bob. And if any of our supporters or team leaders or anyone wants to reach out to you, how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, bob@stpaulse.com, bob@stpaulse.com. Or just give me a call or text at 734-377-4602.
All right. So, folks, go ahead and email or text Bob. Explain to him why he's wrong about the Lions, you know, being the best sports team out there. You know, or he thinks the Tigers are, right, and it's really the Lions. So you can correct him. And, of course, get a hold of him, too, and Brian as well. Get your street team going. And if you need any help, they're there to assist you as well. All right, folks, so today we heard from John Martinoni and David Bordwine and Bob Wilson, our director of St. Paul Street Evangelization. As we enter into the Christmas season, it's just you know, really cool to see Catholics working together for the salvation of the world. So thank you for being a part of St. Paul Street Evangelization. Thank you for listening to the podcast today and for your prayers and for your support. And we're praying for you and for your families that this season would be a time of rest as we enter into Advent, as we enter into Christmas, a time of, you know, hope, rejuvenation, a time of spiritual refreshment. So stay close to Jesus, stay close to the faith, and as you have any specific prayer requests, please do send them in to us as well. We're happy to pray with you anytime. And God bless you. Let's go ahead and close our podcast together here with a Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. God bless you, brothers and sisters. Have a great Thanksgiving and a Merry Christmas.